This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
What do I know? But I hope this man right here, Rick Scott, runs for the Senate. I don't know what he's going to do.
For the most part, Governor Rick Scott has been receiving a lot of praise for his response to Hurricane Irma.
I think he gets an A+. I mean, the loss of life was completely mitigated because he went around the state and got people ready.
But was it all just a good start for the governor?
If you take credit for the things that come before a disaster, be prepared to take blame for the things that go wrong afterwards.
And that follows the tragic news about the 8 nursing home deaths weighing heavily on Florida's ousted nursing home watchdog, Brian Lee.
It's shockingly horrific. I see this, and to know that this many folks lost their lives in a situation that was undoubtedly preventable.
All that and more coming up on episode 121 of The Rotunda.
A massive storm, 180 miles an hour speed. We're worried about storm surge. I'm doing my best to make sure everybody has fuel. I talked to the White House yesterday, talked to Secretary Rick Perry at the Department of Energy. We're doing everything we can to get gas into these stations so people can evacuate.
Governor Rick Scott took command of Florida's preparation plans for Irma and oversaw the largest mass evacuation in state history, if not U.S. history. Some 6 million Floridians fled their homes, and the governor's office took charge.
This can cover homes, and we just haven't seen this. We didn't see this in Andrew, and we haven't seen this. So I think people have to really understand, you've got to listen to your local officials. This storm surge can kill you.
I was working on a story about Florida's volunteer resources and ways to help, but I couldn't even get Volunteer Florida to discuss the issue, as all state agency communication was routed to the governor's office.
Right now, you can't get out in many parts of the state because of the weather. But after this passes, we're going to need more volunteers. And I hope more people will continue to volunteer.
It was the usual, only carefully crafted information was allowed out. Some like to say now is not the time for politics. It's the easiest way to dodge a question while dealing in a crisis. But when you're President Donald Trump, he couldn't help but fawn over his friend while touring the devastation left behind by Irma.
I have to say that, what do I know? But I hope this man right here, Rick Scott, runs for the Senate. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know that at a certain point it ends for you, and we can't let it end. So I hope he runs for Senate. Who knows what he's going to do?
All right, so since Trump brought it up, let's talk politics. How would you rate Governor Rick Scott's performance during Irma? And will it help or hurt his chances in a likely matchup against Senator Bill Nelson? I've assembled two strategists, a Democrat and a Republican. First up,
Anthony Pedicini, and I'm a Republican political strategist in Florida.
Thanks for being on the program. So initially, Governor Rick Scott has been getting praise for his response to Hurricane Irma. What's your take? What would you give him as a grade?
I think he gets an A+. I mean, the loss of life was completely mitigated because he went around the state and got people ready.
So this is unfolding as we speak, the loss of life in that South Florida nursing home. Looking at this through a political lens, it's not looking good for the governor.
No. If you're a Democrat, you're making the story so it doesn't look good. So the only story that I've seen that was a tremendous and egregious loss of life was the nursing home. I think it was in Broward.
It was in Hollywood, Florida.
So you had a nursing home where they couldn't run the air condition, where the staff there failed to meet, in my opinion, from what I've read, their obligation to their clients and keep them healthy and safe. I don't think there's anything that a governor of any state can do on that micro level. I think, you know, all the rules that I have seen that ACA puts out for these ALFs, they have to have emergency plans. They have to have agreements with other sister facilities that take their patients in times of crisis like in Irma. And I don't know if you could blame the governor for a single facility not doing that.
That's true, but that's not including the call to the governor that went unanswered.
I don't know about the calls. Can you tell me about that?
The facility, there are reports that the facility called the governor's private number and repeatedly called for help. The governor's office confirmed they received the calls, but it just wasn't checked.
Oh, but why would you call the governor of the state if you have people dying? That doesn't make sense to me. They have 911. I guess, you know, you can't, if I was a Democratic operative, I would be laying this at the governor's feet. You cannot, the governor of the state of Florida does not run assisted living facilities. That's not his job. And that's the end of the story for me. I mean, he just doesn't do that. Like, so for example, if thousands of people died in the storm surge because the governor failed to make the case that Irma was a serious threat to life in the state of Florida, okay, well, maybe you can look at his feet. He didn't do that. He did the opposite. He made the case. He did a tremendous job. And then to say, okay, well, the power didn't come on right away. We had the largest outage in the history of the country, the largest ever. No one has ever dealt with this before. State of Florida had more crew lines lined up in strategic areas of the state to turn on power in record time. Storms in the past in this state have taken out less people's power, and it's taken longer to put those lights back on than it has in this storm.
So how will this all play out when we're looking at the Senate race and the possibility of him running for Senate against Bill Nelson?
You cannot argue that the governor of the state of Florida has done his job by the people of the state as he moves into a U.S. Senate run. You know, Bill Nelson's a fine guy. He's done a great job. You know, maybe it's time we try somebody new. I know I'll be voting for Rick Scott.
So will Rick Scott run for Senate?
Yeah, I believe the governor will run for the Senate. I hope he does. I think he'd be a formidable candidate. I think he has the edge in a gubernatorial year in the state of Florida against Bill Nelson, who you could probably pin a tremendous amount of liberal policies on in the Obama years. I don't think the state of Florida really is that way. I think Bill Nelson has done a tremendous job in past campaigns avoiding those kind of things. You know, he kind of plays the middle of the fence at election time, but he's really a lefty every other year. So I think, you know, I give the edge to the governor, especially after the way he handled the storm. And to be extremely honest with you, again, the Democrats can take one little piece of sand in this entire sand pile of Irma and say, oh, look, he didn't do it here. Well, that's just ridiculous.
Well, that's Republican strategist Anthony Pedicini with his take.
You know, if you take credit for the things that come before a disaster, be prepared to take blame for the things that go wrong afterwards. So I think the real test is what happens here over the next few days and weeks to come in a final grade, if you will.
That's Democratic strategist Kevin Kate. His grade for Scott is still under review, but he compares Scott's performance to former Governor Jeb Bush, which is giving a lot of credit.
And I think Rick Scott pretty much went full Jeb Bush leading up to the hurricane when it comes to getting people prepared, getting the word out.
What do you make of the administration's tight grip on information?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably more a political strategy than it is an emergency response strategy. You've probably read Mary Ellen Klaus with the Miami Herald and others have had to resort to what I call the Gary Fineout, which is an Associated Press reporter known for having to stick his ear up against a door to hear closed door legislative meetings. I think it's pretty pathetic that in a state with such robust Sunshine State laws for public records that reporters are having to, you know, play Dick Tracy in order to figure out what's going wrong or even what's going right.
What was Scott's biggest problem or mistake during managing this storm response?
I mean, I think it's too early to say if there's one problem that's larger than the other. I think obviously the most critical need right now is to get people's power restored. And I know that there are line workers working all over the state in order to make that happen. I understand that the effort is unprecedented and more line workers are out working than have ever worked in one state at any one time that we know of. So certainly I don't want to say anything that would demean their ability to get the power back on, because I think they're doing everything they can to do so. But I know it's a challenge. It's a challenge after any storm.
What do you give Scott credit for? What do you say is the biggest win so far?
I mean, I don't really want to talk about wins and losses in a disaster because it's all a loss. I think what he's shown is that he's willing to be the machine that he's known to be in a bad way sometimes with his focus and kind of talking point character that he runs on. But I think that some of that machine-like focus has benefited Floridians when it comes to the pre-storm narrative, making sure that people knew that, you know, that storm surge was going to be legit and, you know, the storm was going to take people's lives and to get out of the way. So, you know, there's only so much a governor can do. You know, some of the other challenges, which, you know, other people may look at Rick Scott and say one impediment to the recovery may be some of the level of empathy or ability to, you know, as our friend Troy Kinsey with Bay News 9 likes to point out, Rick Scott has an extra roof in his garage in his Naples mansion. You know, so I don't know if many people see the common man touch after the storm, but I think he needs to work on that and see what he can do to empathize with Floridians that don't have the resources to be paying for generators and, you know, all the other kind of cost plywood that go along with preparing for a hurricane. And now without power or without, you know, work, a lot of people had to, I mean, somebody in my family came up and stayed with me and, you know, you lose pay when you're an hourly worker and you have to evacuate. I mean, there's all kinds of challenges. So I think creating that bond with Floridians will be important. He is, thus far, I don't think has been necessarily successful in that in any regard politically, but this is another opportunity for him to show that if he chooses to.
Now, looking ahead, how will this impact his chances for the Senate race?
I mean, again, people are made or broken after disasters like this. And I think a lot of that jury will still be out for quite some time. Certainly, a lot of people speculate that it'll be Senator Nelson against Governor Scott. And I think Senator Nelson has been through quite a few storms, and you've seen him out with Senator Rubio doing everything he can to be bipartisan in his approach to the post-storm activities, as well as what he's doing in Washington to try to bring folks together to make sure we get the funding that we need to get this state backed up and going.
And that's Democratic strategist Kevin Cate. Coming up, Florida's ousted long-term care ombudsman shares his concerns about the nursing home deaths in Hollywood, Florida.
Hopefully lawmakers will have a very short memory when they get back to session next year and recall what's happened with the atrocity at this nursing home and do the right thing and pass legislation to make nursing homes safer for residents.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. If you're already a subscriber, that's great. Thanks for your support. If you're new, welcome. Make yourself at home and visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, and Facebook. Oh, and check out where you can easily hit the donate button right on our website. We welcome your generous contributions along with your tips and story ideas. And as always, thanks for your support.
In Florida, it's interesting. We require gas stations to have backup generators, but apparently, given how many nursing home facilities in Florida were reported, 150 you say, to not have power still right now or as of yesterday, it doesn't seem like there's a requirement for nursing homes to have a backup generator, but yet for gas stations.
That's the mayor of Hollywood, Florida, Josh Levy, speaking on CBS.
It's shockingly horrific. You know, I see this, and to know that this many folks lost their lives in a situation that was undoubtedly preventable.
That's Brian Lee, Florida's former long-term care ombudsman, who lost his job at the beginning of the Scott administration. He was pushed out.
We had, every state has a long-term care ombudsman office, and they operate a little bit differently, but the goal is to do this individual advocacy work. Ombudsmen go to nursing homes and assisted living facilities regularly. They investigate complaints, They work with the facility administration and personnel to try to resolve those problems. And sometimes issues can't be fixed at the local level. There's some systemic advocacy that needs to occur, legislative advocacy that needs to occur. The ombudsman, you know, they find these problems and they would shoot those kind of issues up to my office, in which we would go and talk to lawmakers and make sure that folks were aware.
Lee didn't want to get into detail about his forced exit from his job, but there are numerous reports chronicling his battles with Florida's assisted living facilities as they push back against increased regulations.
From my experience, it sounds like that there was a snowball of problems that were occurring. Again, looking from the outside in, because we just don't know what happened behind closed doors. But from my experience, it could be that there was inadequate preparation for the emergency preparedness. Maybe it was a lack of training or a lack of supervision, mismanagement. Somebody was unable to make the call to transfer the residents. You know, I've seen this happen, and you know, we back in 2004 when we had the four hurricanes, we saw this with a number of ALFs where folks were just inability to make decisions about what to do in a crisis standpoint, and that could be what happened here.
Florida relies on inspectors to enforce the laws governing the state's nursing homes, but protecting the rights of the roughly 70,000 elderly patients who live in those facilities falls on the state long-term care ombudsman program and the army of volunteers who visit facilities to monitor care. Volunteers do this work. These volunteers fell nearly a third, from 413 in 2007 to 281 in June, according to annual reports produced by the program. Brian Lee.
You know, my experience with the emergency management oversight by the Agency for Healthcare Administration, what's the requirements for nursing homes, how the paperwork is filed with local emergency management offices, I think that could be tightened up a little bit. So there's additional oversight at homes to ensure compliance, and that there's an understanding and training of personnel so that they're equipped to be able to handle these types of situations.
Brian Lee now serves as the executive director of Families for Better Care, and he continues to advocate for better nursing homes.
When this comes around, it's talked about next year, there needs to be a promise made to elders now that they're going to do something to make this better for residents and not listen to the squawking by the industry that's going to say that, you know, generators are going to cost too much money and we can't afford this. That's bogus. That's garbage. These folks, the industry is flush with cash. It's highly profitable. They can afford some generators to make their places safer for residents in the future. And the profitability is at the highest levels it's ever been in nursing homes. And it's not me who says it, okay? It's the investors. They want to get in this market. It's so profitable. Valuations for nursing homes are through the roof, records. So they need to do the right thing. The industry should come together with the lawmakers, get this done quickly.
That's Brian Lee with Families for Better Care. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Democratic strategist Kevin Kate, Republican strategist Anthony Pedicini, and Florida's former ombudsman who heads up Families for Better Care, Brian Lee. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.